or their fit.
Right.
So.
But making the
if you're big and you want to be fit, you don't really see the results right away.
No, you don't. So you just have to go one little step at a time, whatever you're able to do.
Oh, Eric.
Anybody else on the call?
Eric.
Andy's here.
Hello, hello.
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 Are we the only ones?
Marion?
Can you all hear Eric?
Yeah. I hear you.
Hi, Eric.
Oh, hello. Good. Want to make sure I was being heard. Didn't know. How's everyone's weekend?
Good.
Good. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, mine was perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Got me a business partner this weekend. That's always fun.
Yep.
Who's all on the call? I heard Sandy and it sounded like Marion.
Chuck and Tracy.
Chuck and Tracy. Well, I can't wait to get down there and meet you folks.
Well, the weather's great. Come on down.
Yeah, San Diego, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You gotta be careful of those tomatoes down there, though, right? The ones that are coming from Mexico.
That's why we're growing our own. We're starting to do that.
Well, that's cool.
We haven't picked any yet, but
my I guess you could say uncle-in-law, my father-in-law, his dad grows his own tomatoes hydroponically. Plants, so it's these humongous tomatoes, and they last forever on the counter, and they're just the best things in sliced bread.
There's nothing like a homegrown tomato.
Oh, yeah.
They're just completely different than what you buy in the store.
Yeah.
What'd you hear about the tomatoes in Mexico?
That they were using human fecal matter for fertilizer.
Oh, well, I guess everybody needs some lactoferrin.
Yeah. And let's just go with the whole wellness home. How about that?
That's right.
Do we need to call Jerry and remind him of the call?
Well, I saw him at 7 and he had a call to make. I don't imagine he'd still be on it, but Melody's here. Hi, Melody.
Hey, Melody.
Hi. I just talked to Jerry a second ago.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Future Diamonds of Nikon. Yeah.
Did anybody catch that call tonight with Jeffrey Combs?
No. Oh, dang it.
I was doing a preview or an ABC.
It was good.
He's
pretty good, yeah. He's hard to follow what he's saying sometimes.
Well, some of the highlights.
Look at my notes here.
Yeah, I was really wanting to do that, and I had to go take care of some things.
He talked some about you have to transform yourself, how you say it, your tonality, the energy, and then he, assures you that you can. Didn't really give us a lot of how to exactly, mostly kind of what you need to do, and use, a lot of present tense talking to yourself to help you transform, which we hear from in, the Mach 2, I am, and kind of things. He thinks you should spend your time producing, collecting decisions, live in the area of trust, intuition, faith, and less, which drives away fear, doubt, and anxiety. He says your people can feel it. People can sense it. You send them a telepathic message if you're thinking it. That's what they pick up. He wanted you to be proud of what you do, that the sales job, and he says you are in sales, is the highest paid profession that there is. So you need to spend time learning, communicating,
you want
connecting.
That all sounds wonderful. Do you really all have the same sensation when you're talking about Lincoln? When somebody says, so it's like being in sales and I don't want to be in sales, you kind of get that like dingy feeling like, well, yeah, it kind of is sales, but I just need sharing. Is it that we all have this bad persona, people that are sales, like car salesmen, insurance salesmen, and stuff that we, when someone says, oh, you're in sales, you're like, you know, you want to be cleaner than that or something. Is that just me or is that kind of like...
And, you know, they say, you know, well, you know, you can, you know, it isn't sales, you know, they kind of say that to us about how it's, you know, you're meeting people, you not want to sell them stuff, you know, like it is kind of a something not so good, but, you know, Jeffrey Combs was saying, you know, there's no reason to put it down, it's the highest paid profession, you know, that's something, so.
Our sales is, how would you like to be the best that you can be. That's what we're selling.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that, Melody, being that you learned that from Jeffrey Combs, I'm going to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That because it is the highest paid profession, but the next time somebody says that to me, without even thinking about it, I'm just going to say, you know that's the highest paid profession, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are more, you know.
Abundance. Like, I think Russell said that one time when he was at a restaurant to his waiter. Do you have a problem, or would you be comfortable with an abundance? And the guy said no, so he gave him a small tip. Remember that, like, 2.5 months ago?
Would you be uncomfortable with abundance?
Or comfortable with abundance. And the waiter said,
no,
not really. Like, people are uncomfortable with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave him a small tip.
Well, I don't think I would be, but could you prove me wrong?
Let's experiment.
Let me work on that.
Give me $1 million, I'll tell you how it feels.
I remember when I was
not uncomfortable.
Remember that show, the cartoon DuckTales, and Uncle Scrooge had his money pit that he always dive into?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a lot of fun if he could really do that. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. I did like DuckTales.
Yeah,
I just think of all the charities I could donate to and all the people I could help.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And the colleges I could send my kids to if they wanted to.
I know. See, I just want a car that runs.
Who said that? Who wants
when
a car that runs?
When we're thinking about the charities and all the things we can do, I love to think about that duplicated by everyone in my group, you know, because we all have different areas and different tasks we want to get to.
Let's see if I can see anything else he said.
Hey, Melody, you totally deserve a car that runs, and you will get the car that runs.
I know. I was thinking of that today. I was listening to that tape that Dave Johnson gave us at the last wellness preview. And my car doesn't have a CD player that works. So I have an old handheld CD player, and they have this tape that plugs into the tape deck, and then it'll play the CD through that.
Mm-hmm.
And every 5 seconds, it kicked itself off. So you go down the road, just keep punching that button. You
know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they said something in there like, what motivates you? You know, what's your vision? What's this? And I'm thinking, you know, what finally motivated me enough is that I hated my car so bad that I would do anything to get out of this car.
What kind of car do you have, Melody?
It's a Camry, 93 Camry.
Oh, really?
It's just nothing.
Well, isn't it just awesome to be a part of something that you can say to people, hey, look, they will buy you a car, but it's got to be $20,000 or higher.
Yeah.
Who works for a company that can say that?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met anybody yet.
when Jerry said that to me, I looked at his little Toyota and I said, "And that's what you picked?" He starts laughing. And he goes, "Well, I'm giving them to my kids." And I went, "Oh, well, all right." I can't believe he can have any car, and that's what he picked.
Well, it's a Prius or something, right?
Yeah.
Friday. And I was telling the guy, Robert, I said, yeah, Jerry's car is paid for, but he's very green. He chuckled about it. He was like, well,
I know, I looked at it. I know, I looked at it, I'm like, and that's what you picked. I'm thinking Corvette, you know, I mean.
That's what Ken Hankins has.
Yes, I know. That's a, and that is my favorite color. I love his Corvette.
Mm.
He's like, I love it, too. I bet you, too.
You know what I get? I kind of like those Suzuki SX7 or something.
There are so many cool cars out there.
SUVs. Yeah.
It'd be fun to just go shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Melanie, you went shopping today. How did it go with your shopping today, Melanie?
Oh, well, I had two school events, so I didn't go out today. I listened to tapes and made some calls and, you know, kind of did on the home thing because Tommy had a thing and Nick had a thing. So we're almost done with school. So, yeah. So I didn't go out. But I am going out Wednesday. I made an appointment. I have an ABC on Wednesday.
All right, Melanie. Awesome. Awesome. Good.
Going to be the next Dave Johnson.
Yeah. Jeffrey Combs is going to be in Seattle for a one-day workshop on August 2nd.
And oh, really?
Yeah, if anyone's interested. He has a website. It's goldenmastermind.com, if anybody's interested.
Oh, interesting.
He has a special right now. If he's giving for 24 hours since for the people who are on Dave's call. There's a thing on for $149. You can get $500 worth of some of his stuff. There's
oh, my gosh.
All kinds of stuff that he's doing.
Mm-hmm. What's that for?
What's
on Jeffrey Combs, you can get about $500 worth of stuff for $149 for 24 hours on his website.
And what's his website again?
www.goldenmastermind.com. And just click on conference call special if you're interested. I can't remember all what was on it. But oh, here it is. And
is there a promo code?
No. It's just down, just click that middle thing. See what's all on it. Psychology of Closing, a 10 CD audio series. No, is that the one? I think so.
Maureen and Andre on the call?
More Heart Than Talent, an 8 CD audio series. Becoming a Master Prospector, it's a 1 CD. 7 Figure Connecting Secrets, single audio CD. 7 Steps to 7 Figures, 1 CD.
I like that CD.
Prospecting in the Moment. And then it seemed like there was other, like 5 hours. Okay.
What was it, last year when Jeffrey Combs talked about all that stuff?
What was what, I'm sorry?
What was it like just kind of hearing Jeffrey Combs talk about all that stuff and just in free spirit attitude about it?
He just, you know, he's very exciting. You know, he's very, has a lot of energy, and you feel like you have to really pay attention, and he, like, it, you know, knows exactly what he's feeling. The one thing that he did kind of do is he talks so much that sometimes he'll start something, get a thought, and he kind of left it hanging. Like, there's one part he said, he was talking about how to, you know, close or how to, you know, get started with someone. And he says, you say their name. And so he started to give us an example. He says, Dave, specifically. And then he never got back to it. because he, you know, started talking about something else. So, he says you shouldn't say sir or ma'am, just say their name. And he also thinks you should ask the question, how do you feel about what you've just seen? He thinks you should really ask that and not...
Yeah, I heard that on one of the CDs.
Kind of qualify, yeah, to qualify and not waste time on people that you have to hold their hand or that sort of thing. I felt a little guilty right there.
Why?
Well, I just... Ideal word. So instead of think, you don't say what do you think, you say what do you feel.
How do you feel, yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah, because I think he says on the CD to seven thoughts or seven ideas and to seven figures, he says if you ask somebody what do you think, you're only getting a response from their mind, where if you tap into their inner desires and with their heart and their mind, they're thinking and feeling, by asking what do you feel about what we've seen, then you really tap into a deeper emotion than when you ask just what do you think.
Right.
And that,
do you think we should go ahead and talk about how we get the silver run so we can learn from each other on that? Is that what we're supposed to be talking about today? Is it still running for silver?
On chapter 2 in the Mach 2 with your hair on fire.
It was June 1st. We were supposed to listen to Pathfinders. That's week.
That was good.
What they did was talk about the running for silver.
Right. How they went to silver.
That's
or
right.
How their silvers went to silver.
And aren't we supposed to copy them?
Hey, Dean, you want to know what to do?
Good.
Sorry about that, just signing up another new diamond.
All right.
Awesome.
Hey,
yourself, Jerry?
What's that?
For yourself?
Well, yeah, there's, sometimes they just fall in your lap and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys cranked?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good. We got lots to cover, and I just ate up most of your time. So, what have you covered so far?
Jeffrey called tonight.
Oh, good. How did that go?
It was good. It was very energetic and enthusiastic and fun to listen to.
And how much did he talk about products?
Zero.
Weird. How can people make a living not talking about products?
Easy.
Andy, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Totally awesome. Russell and Michelle, are you with us? Chuck and Tracy?
Yep.
All right. And I heard Melody and Marion and Eric. And is Diana with us?
Diana is doing her drill, so she will not be here tonight.
Okay. Did I miss anybody?
Kim,
hi, Kim.
Hey, I'm here.
All right,
sorry.
Awesome. Totally cool. Okay, guys, man, I'll tell you what, there is so much to cover and so many things. You better dust off your running shoes, because we're running. And so let's review. You guys talked about a little bit about Jeffrey Combs, but let's go back to our two books, or our book and our CD, and get right on those, because I think that's incredibly valuable information. And then Sandy and I just love talking to you guys out there in the field, because every time I do, I learn a whole lot. Sandy, thank you for that lesson today.
You're welcome.
And Kim?
Yes, sir.
We need to go on some retreats together, you and me. We just need to spend some time.
That would be good. Thank
totally
you.
Totally awesome. Okay, so first off, let's go through and... Is there anybody here who did not get your CDs with Mach 2?
Gary, the first and third one worked for me. The second one didn't, so I'm sorry. I need another second one. This is Marion.
Marion, you are a problem.
I'm sorry.
Problem child.
Positive statements.
Yeah. Are we, what is it, some of your general consensus of that series of CDs? What does it, if you look at the, I want to look at everything tonight in terms of producing and producing what we want for results. So it, in terms of that category, there are probably five different areas, so that, at least five, because there's five pillars, right? But what can we use that for? And this is Yoda School. So I want you to put it in perspective, not only of what it does for you, but can you see what it will do for people that you bring to the team? So there's a lot of stuff in there. So who wants to throw out your ideas on what insights you might have gotten from that CD series?
I really appreciated how he was saying, or identified with, I should say, in growing up, the ideas that he got about himself, that he wasn't good enough, and things like that. And one thing that I became aware of about myself, I had an older sister, and of course she was always smarter than me because she was older. So I always thought I wasn't smart, and that I could learn things if I worked real hard at it. And so that was the philosophy I worked with until recently. And I decided it would be a lot more fun if it would be easy instead of hard. And if things just, if I just learned easily and things like that. And since I changed that attitude, it's just, it has worked.
Did anybody hear a word she said in there that he said early on in
yep.
the series?
Mm-hmm.
What was it? What was that word?
Identified.
Identified?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one he used. What was another one? He said he had this lifestyle and he decided to change mm-hmm. how he... dressed. He decided to change how he thought, and he decided to hang around with different people. Real important point, it comes down to a decision. And so in terms of that decision, you decided that those particular things in your life didn't serve you for what you wanted, so you were going to change them to something else. That's very interesting. Anyone else get that same perspective?
Yeah, and he worked at it, and he learned... He made the effort to acquire the tool to learn to change. He looked, you know, took the time to look in the right direction to find the right role model for what he wanted to be.
Knowing it's possible, you know, for him to tell you it's absolutely possible is, you know, hope-inspiring.
Did that, that hope-inspiring... I'm gonna. That's gonna be something I have to write down here. Okay. Did it? You mentioned something that he kept working at it. Do you think that's the reality, or does somebody just change and say, "I decided to change, and so now I'm good, and I don't have to worry about it anymore"?
I wish. Well, no, it's work.
And why is it so much work? Why is it so many repetitions?
I think you have to identify what kind of work it is, though, Jerry. The kind of work it is your affirmations and your self-talk, so that you're changing your self-talk to, this is easy, this is fun, this is the kind of person I am.
Why?
Why?
What, yeah, why are those the tools of change?
Because we run... on what our subconscious mind, that's our compass. And we got to change the compass so that we just naturally flow that way.
Kim, how many repetitions does it take?
Doesn't it take seven? I mean, doesn't it become a self, or become natural after seven repeated times? Isn't that sort of the magic number? I think it takes more than that, personally, but...
In terms of athletics, if you're going to change the form, let's say Tiger Woods wants to change his swing, it takes 10,000.
I like seven.
Okay.
I like two. <hell. laughs>
But on the other side of it,
athlete.
It depends. There is a way to accelerate this process dramatically.
Clarity and emotion?
Emotion. That's really both. Exactly. Clarity and emotion. Where'd you learn that? That's very good.
That was in that tape.
It's very much about clarity and emotion, because you can make something stick, good or bad, if the emotion is strong enough when it hits you. And the clarity of the vision, these are things that are really advanced neuro-linguistic scientific concepts. And this is really the neural sequence as one cell synapses with another cell. That can occur in 1 to 3 repetitions if you're, well, for example, if somebody has a fall or somebody has a near-drowning episode, how many times does it make them fearful of water?
Oh, right. Forever.
And,
once.
And they'll have an autonomic response. Maybe you've got a fear of dogs, or you've got a fear of heights, or you've got a fear of something, that you immediately, it hit you, and you get this neurologic automatic series of events that occur that make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, you start to get faster pulse, you start to breathe faster, you start to sweat, you start to get nervous, and you don't even know why.
So how do you do that in a positive way so that it's clear and strong with emotion?
Well, what are the 2 points? Clarity and emotion, right?
Right.
Have you ever, I was colorblind when I was growing up. Well, still am. So I focused on other things, and one of the things that I gained was a very strong sense of smell. And I absolutely delight in the sense of smell. And so, one of the greatest, and then the olfactory, the input for the nose, is closest to the hippocampus, which is, yeah, well, I guess that doesn't really matter to all of you guys. But it, essentially, what it means is that it's one of those things that can lock into your guts much faster. So if I smell a certain type of perfume, I am instantly holding hands for the first time with some girl and feeling like all gooey inside. And I figure that's a pretty positive thing. And there are those things where you listen to a song and it brings you back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
To all, you can feel the breeze, you can smell the air, it all is there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the positive is just as easily programmed in if you have extreme clarity and high emotion. Right?
Right. Yeah.
But these long-term effects, like I just got off the phone today with a life-changing, group-changing, Nikken-changing experience. And I'm talking Nikken Global. I'm going to go through the list here, and I want you to tell me something. And I'm just going to be curious, and then I'll tell you what transpired. If you were to name, I want you to name, who is your cross-line spark plug? Someone that is almost your bosom buddies, and when you get together, you're infallible. So, Eric, do you have one?
Yeah, Sandy.
Awesome. Sandy, who's your cross-line? Somebody that just, when you're around them, it just cranks you up.
I have a couple, Eric and Debbie.
Yeah, that's kind of a downline thing, but do you have a cross line that's just completely out? So if you talk shop with them, you're good to go? How about Sherry?
Yep.
Is that about as close as you've got right now, or do you have somebody else?
No, Sherry's a good one. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Marion?
Well, I really enjoyed Eric and Melody as we've been talking since this group call.
And I'm going to make a big point about this here in a minute, but it's just interesting to see. Melody?
I'd have to say Jan or Teresa.
Okay, good. Good. Chuck and Tracy?
For me, Lisa.
Yeah, and you feel that different than you've ever felt with anybody cross-line before?
Definitely.
I can tell that. I think you really are definitely in that category right now. That's totally cool. Michelle, Russell? Not on tonight? Kim?
I think the only cross line that I would know of would be the people on this call.
Now, when I first got out of the chute in Niken, started building and went pretty good. We got some volume, we got some checks. We were astounded. We were having a blast. But it didn't take off, and I mean really take off, until I got a cross line friend, Greg Rooney, who's currently a diamond, and he has all of Europe in his downline. I mean, it's ridiculous. But we used to run together every morning. I used to go over to his house at night 2-3 times a week, stay up way too late into the morning, and dream together. We just put everything together. We would talk about the possibilities. We would talk about where we were going to go. Even to this day, it's so funny how I'm tied in with him, because if I haven't seen him for a year and a half because he moved out to Virginia, he'll call me up and he'll say, hey, have you, I've been working on some stuff with Richard Brook. It's the funniest thing. He says, I was cruising through the internet and I found this and I found that and I did this and came up with that, and I ran across Richard Brook and he put his Mach 2 CDs, and you know, it'll be right about now he'll call me with something like that. And he'll say, this has happened in my group, this happened in my group. Almost everything I ever do, he's already doing somewhere else.
Hmm.
But when we were together, it was a catalyst that just became absolutely impossible to stop. Well, I just really been working on trying to find an alliance that would take it the next level. And y'all are going to be a part of this, too. And that's with Terry Latham.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be up here next week for the big event. And
San Diego.
So excited.
We're doing some stuff right now with Terry that's talking global. And nobody out there is really popping this thing to the proportions that it could be done. So it's just something that Terry and I are going to be building and dreaming and developing and setting stuff that I now know and I can feel that's going to be so far beyond anything I've ever been able to capture, but you can't do it alone. You've got to be around other people to do it. So when we talk about this set of CDs, we talk about this group of people, we talk about putting yourself in the perspective going out there and doing some prospecting, you fire up. I mean, you get around this group for very long, you start sharing with each other, and you start building on your belief systems, and then go out and talk to somebody. They won't be able to even touch you. You'll fly right over at 50,000 feet. So that's just something that's, watch for it in the works. We may even be doing team calls with their team a couple times a week or more. We're just hybridizing. We're going into the next level. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huger than huge. So be aware. Watch for that. Rick's in the background a little bit, but I'm just resonating with Terry even more right now because I think Terry's moving faster. So it's going to be totally awesome. We might as well go to the top, right, guys?
Because
if everybody on this group is going to go President's Club, it's going to fit right into that. Anybody else have a perspective on Richard Brooks' CDs? Let's take the Yoda view. What's it going to do in terms of people that you introduced to this? Eric?
With the Richard Brooks CDs?
Yeah.
in introducing them to the Richard Brooks CDs, or what I'm getting out of it to introduce to them?
Everybody hit star 4 for a second, because I think some people are going to be too quiet for everybody else to hear. Okay, Eric, just tell me your dream. You now have listened to Richard Brooks CDs, Moxie with Your Hair on Fire. Where do you see those playing in your downline, and what good will they do? And when will you incorporate them?
Well, I should start incorporating them right now, actually. And I think maybe it'll be the same thing it did for me and help me realize that I had to take a serious look at what was more of a roadblock rather than a helper in my own mind in overcoming that and changing the way I think about myself and what I'm doing. And having the ability to recognize the roadblock instead of beating around the bush. And once you get that out of the way, everything just becomes so much more clear about what you can do in a positive note for your business and for your team. And until you get past that roadblock, it kind of hinders progress. And I think for my team, what it's really going to do is just sharing that with them and what it was that my roadblock was on a personal level, face-to-face with someone. Maybe it'll help them see that they have a similar situation. And listening to that Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire one time, two times, or two dozen times will just help to pull that out and stop playing around and let's get serious. And if you're going to be serious about something, you really need to take a look at what's inside you and figure out what it is that you need to overcome in order to become what it is that you want. Because that's what stops everyone is what's inside of you. It's not what someone else is doing or what someone else is not doing. It's what you're doing or what you're not doing.
Awesome.
There's internal reasons.
Well, it's nice to know that there are reasons and how they came about, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You don't do so much self kind of tearing yourself down when you do that. Andre and Marina, are you on? Yeah, they're doing another preview, I think. Because they had the written version of it, so I was going to be interested in the perspective. Anybody else want to take a crack at those three CDs now? And here's what I want you to think about. We have so much to cover on these calls, and we'll never even get close to covering all of it. But if you have all of these resources available, and all of them are good, but we don't get systematic about when you get those, can you see how people get themselves all balled up and string and they can't move?
Yeah.
So there's going to have to be a systematic approach and timing as to when people get this stuff.
You know, I think they should get it early because myself, you know, I lived under the idea that I didn't have the right personality to do things. I decided early on in my career that I could not be a nurse anesthetist because I didn't have a personality that would allow me to do that because you have to, you know, stand up for yourself and you're in charge of that patient. You have to talk to doctors and tell them what they can do. And, you know, I just decided, well, I don't have that personality. And, I mean, throughout my life, if I took a few minutes, I could think of several things that I did not do because I didn't have the personality for it. And listening to Richard Brooks on there and realizing that it was all just garbage, that I have the personality to do whatever I want to if I just decide to change and, you know, take the steps. Like I said, it was mind-boggling to me the first time I heard that. So I think it should be done early. And I think that, you know, it should even be something that, you know, you can handle an objection with someone. But I don't like selling. I never did that, or I didn't do it. And, you know, my response is, you don't know what you can do. You know, you can change and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
you've changed huge amounts. Do you think that the stuff that you've been learning is as valuable to the general population as magnets?
Oh, absolutely. And I see these, you know, even, you know, a couple times that I've I talked to someone today, oh, we're just not interested, and I just, you know, it just breaks my heart because if they only knew, and I'm thinking, is there something I could have done to get that message across? Because everybody wants this. Everybody, you know, could grow from this.
When you just said that, could you imagine them saying the same thing if they happened to run into three or four of these people all at once when they were there with you? You guys just gushed and had a great time and really went after it, but really didn't approach them directly. Do you think they'd have had a better chance of seeing what this is all about?
I think if you see people, well, even Eric was talking about that, like when he's talking to people in the coffee shop, other people come up to him and say, what is that? I want that too. Something, and it's kind of the unknown, like if somebody approaches you and gives you this thing, your guard is up, they're trying to sell me something. But if you see enthusiastic people talking about this great thing, you kind of go, oh, I wonder what they're talking about. That sounds really cool. You know, like, I wonder, you know, maybe I'll talk to them or something. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, we don't work it so hard, and they will come, and they'll be attracted to it. Good point. All right, so let's take this then and roll it over into our book, because there's all of you know that we've got Tony Skoma coming this week. He's going to have the luncheon. Anybody know where the location of the luncheon is?
Americana Cafe or something. Isn't that at university?
Yeah, it used to be Percy's. That's where he was always at.
Right.
And at, what's it called, the University Mall? Or what's that mall out there called?
I think you're right.
University City, it used to be.
Yeah, that's what it is. So that'd be at noon.
That's it on Sprague between, is it Evergreen and University?
It's right on University.
Something like that.
It's like the right on the corner of University and Sprague.
Okay. Do you have Linda's number that we're supposed to call to make reservations?
I don't, but it should be on Dave Johnson's email out to everybody. If it's not, I'll get an email out to everyone. Okay, then the next thing is, in terms of our reading for this week, the second chapter of
Slight Edge.
There you go, Slight Edge. I'm trying to think of the title. Do the two materials complement each other?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So what are some of the common themes that you've picked up? Or what's the major theme that you're picking up when you're reading Jeff Olson's material?
I have a whole new idea of what it means when they say success is a progressive realization of a worthy ideal. It's the little invisible things that we do or do not do that make all the difference. And it builds and builds and builds, just like that investment of $2,000 for 6 years versus you wait 6 years and they have to do it forever about.
Anybody find that to be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And what about putting that into a presentation to get that urgency out there?
Mm.
I've got a great analogy for that one, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with Marion and Melody about this just last night, and when I saw that compound interest chart in the book, immediately it dawned on me, wow, what if I found 20 people my first year, and a buddy of mine signed up in the same month, and he didn't have the gumshoe to go out and get 20 people his first year, and he waited till his second year to get those 20 people. But I had a year jump on them. In 10 or 12 years, my organization could have doubled or tripled just because I decided to do this a year earlier and he didn't. And the reward or the outcome is going to be tremendous in difference.
And it would be scary to figure out how big a difference.
Oof, I'm getting goosebumps.
Well, that's one of the things that most people are missing is urgency enough to get people to react or move. So this is a valuable chapter with that. Anybody else have something that you want to throw in on that chapter?
I liked, which always follows what Dave says about reading, however, or, you know, always listening and reading, and he said how you feed your mind is every bit as critical to your happiness is as how you feed your body.
Mm-hmm. You're really starting to get that, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So then, is anybody starting to change your perspective about what Nican is?
Human being more.
It's a self-help program with benefits.
And then there's a lot we can talk about. We probably continue to talk about this for a long time. But Sandy and I came up with a discussion this afternoon that I found to be really an epiphany. And then, Sandy, how do you do that to me? You're always doing that. It was incredible. And I was on with Terry Latham's Silver and Above leadership team the hour before this call. And really that one issue just kept coming back to my mind as I was talking through it. And in terms of, it was either Melody or Kim that said hope inspiring.
Melody.
And here's an interesting point, guys. Sandy was helping me to see that there are certain things when somebody gets really rolling, gets really excited, and becomes very successful. All of you, for example, when Andre got on the phone last week, you had some kind of a response to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would guarantee you that half of you, at least, had a response where it wasn't inspiring, it was deflating. How could that possibly be?
I have to confess that was me. I mean, his energy and all was you know, cool and exciting, but to me it was deflating because it wasn't me. I didn't see it in the real near future, and I felt like I was bringing up the rear and that sort of thing.
So you see, there were people who perceived it as being, as Sandy was saying, that there are going to be people for whom every time somebody else flares, it could feel like it's just, geez, I'm not keeping up or whatever. Can you all see how that is not a useful response?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we identify that as not being a useful response and we want to change it to something that's a useful response, well, one is to start working on the things that were a part of your affirmations. And you found out, if you find out that those things will knock you out, then put it as a key component to creating changes in your affirmation, as Richard Brook was talking about, to become what is useful. You look at something, and rather than saying, I am, or I'm incapable of, or whatever those things are, then you say, okay, I recognize that. That's not useful. Now let's put it through the litany of things I have to do to make it something that is useful. So just identify. The second part that comes from that is where we get into where I have probably the greatest fun in all of this business. And that is the development of coaching strategies so that the team rises above that. And I want to open up this as a dialogue to all of you, saying, can we come up with some ideas, analogies, how to explain it to one another, where these disempowering things will occur and stop the progress of the group? Isn't it interesting that we could throw somebody out there, and I know of at least four people on this call that have talked to me about that being disempowering because somebody else is being incredibly fast. How can we paraphrase that, let's say in an athletic situation, that makes a team fall apart or have a difficult time, and what can we do to make it so that we tweak it just a little so that the successes of others make you believe in the system. Anybody got anything that's formulating in your head?
Well, the first thing that Thank you. The first thing that came to my head was when you were talking about the affirmation to train your mind for, you know, to use a useful response instead of is remind myself of just what we're reading about right now about the hyacinths, and yes, it is, you know, this person's going really fast, and that's great, and the hyacinth, you know, goes through its process and still covers, you know, a huge amount of ground just at a different rate. And you know, maybe that can be an affirmation just off the top of my head that could help.
Good.
That's beautiful. I love it because just at different points, and just because we're not seeing it, we're at a different stage for right of that hyacinth. And the 29th and 30th, they are coming.
I've got mine is really out there. I don't know if anyone's going to agree with me on this or think I'm crazy, but maybe.
Oh, you're crazy, Eric.
I try to be.
Go ahead.
I got to stand up. I got to stand up. So when I heard Andre on that last Monday call, and being around Andre before and waiting for him to finally get that reaction and waiting for him to finally get that pumped tone in his voice about Nepean, because all the times I talked to him in the past, he's been very quiet and very steady, all Marina and this. And when I heard that, it was like when you ever seen a child discover something for the first time and their eyes get all big and they just yelp and they're happy and they're playful and they're yelling and they're screaming, and it's like, he got it. He finally got it, and I want to see him do it again, and I want to see new people on my team get the same reaction. And so that made me so excited to hear him talk that way. I was like, I can't wait to have 10 more people on the team that are feeling that way so that it can just synergize everybody together and just all the way to the top. It was so cool. I just got a mad rush from it, and I just get goosebumps all over.
Now, this is so great, because we have both ends of the spectrum on the same call. This is incredibly important stuff where you now, as leaders, when you're developing your teams, something that could be inspiring to you, or you bring to the team thinking it's going to be inspiring, could let the wind out of half the people on your team. So there's going to be a little twist to this when we get to the end of the discussion that we're going to, I think, can make us much, much stronger, and it's all part of this big time coaching stuff. When we look at this, what is the difference between the two people? Where do they get it? One says, that's deflating for me, and the other one says, that's incredibly inspiring. What is the difference of perspective?
Flat edge.
That's a really good question, Jerry.
That's why I'm waiting for people to just get it.
Well, I wonder if it has to do with how it affects you directly. Like for Eric, Andre is, you know, definitely part of his team, and he's directly affected in a positive way when Andre takes off. I mean, we are too also, but in a different way. I mean, more as, not necessarily a bystander, but, or maybe for myself, putting it in the forefront that I'm not working as hard as I should be, or I'm not progressing as quickly as I wanted to.
For me, it's inspiring. If I think I can do it too, and I know I'm going to do it too, and it's deflating. I don't think I can do it.
Okay, good. And we're going to make a quick comparison here. One of the things that makes both of our authors great, have any of you felt deflated by the materials you've read or listened to by our two authors?
Oh,
no.
I did. I was deflated by Cutting Edge because I was sick a couple days this week. In fact, the whole week I've just been pushing and not, you know, I just haven't been up to par. And so what I notice all the time is, I'm making the wrong choice. You know, I want to make the choice that's going to make the difference, and I know the slight edge, I'm doing it backwards, and it's because I'm just not up to it today. So it was deflating to me.
And so you need to read the rest of the book.
All righty.
I think for me, I wasn't discouraged at all, but immediately I could relate to, you know, where these authors were. Maybe not where they are now, but in the beginning, I could definitely relate to the beginning struggle and the process, and then be inspired by what they did and what happened. And
But can you imagine that there would be one person who gets on a call or a CD, and they'll tell you that they're a mega millionaire because they did this or that, and it would be disempowering, and another person could say the same thing, but it would be empowering? It's like my two brothers. My younger brother, if he was to cuss, you'd want to go to church, take a shower, and start exercising. You'd feel sick to your stomach. If my older brother cussed, you'd sort of smile, because that's the way crotchety old people ought to be. Same word, same volume, what's the difference?
Interesting.
Is it how we are perceiving that person?
Yes, very much so.
Are we seeing the inside of them in some way? Are they giving us another message? Because I meet people like that too, that, you know, sometimes they seem smarmy, and yet other people could do the same thing, and you still like them.
I love the word smarmy. That's good.
I know, that's a great word.
Yes, absolutely. It's about who they really are. It's about, you can smell that. You remember the old saying that says, who you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you're saying?
And really, that kind of applies to everything. I mean, you get a sense of a person, and they can smile at you. And I've known people, they smile at you and say something, and you know what they're really saying are totally different words.
But I don't see how that makes a difference with what we heard last week and how that inflated some people and deflated some people.
What they're doing is it's vantage points. If you are at a vantage point where you're saying, you're coming to that call and you're saying, I want to get answers on what I need to do so that I can become what I want to become, and I don't have the gumption to go out and really make appointments, and I'm a little fearful, and I'm always sort of evaluating things, and I really don't want to jump in because I've got to evaluate it 30 ways from Sunday. Now I see somebody succeeding, you will always be depressed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, if you're saying from a different vantage point, saying, I just kind of going to take the neutral point and say, let's find out if the concepts that we're learning
and this thing we're working with in Nikan work. And so we're going to apply a few things on purpose, and lo and behold, bang, it works. Well, if that's what you're looking for is, oh my goodness, you plant those seeds and that corn comes up. This is awesome. And then you start validating what you were looking for. So the perspective point says, if we were to, as a leader, the ultimate point is this. If you can create a vision that everybody buys into, that is a team effort, then the successes of other people make you stronger. If it becomes an individual point of comparison, then the successes of other people become adversaries to you. See if I can give you an example of this. One simple one, if I was training an athlete at the, let's say I took a kid to the U.S. Olympic trials, they qualified for their own particular event, and 200 freestyle. They swam their heart out, they made it, they had their lifetime best, so far faster than anything they'd ever done before that they virtually collapsed at the end, and they're grinning and they're happy and stuff, but they're completely and totally overwhelmed and exhausted, and somebody has to haul them out of the water. And they might have done 154 for their 200 free. But then, let's make an assumption that they're going to figure out that the arch-rival Soviet team comes in, and the U.S. team, you all know the big deal is going to be the relay at the finish. And you take that same athlete and they trip over and become a member of the relay. 20 minutes before, they were fatigued beyond comprehension with the ultimate lifetime expenditure of effort. And then they get to the fourth person on the relay and they've got to catch up one half of body length, mm-hmm. Will they go faster?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
As a fatigue.
What is going through their head? Because and you know what? I hear that from two of you, but there's some of you who are saying, I don't know. I'd be scared. I'm behind.
Mm-hmm. No, when you see it right in front of you, I mean, I confess to feeling deflated, but I also have to confess that it wasn't very long before I said, I can do that. I can do that too. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to...
No, that's good. That's a tremendous rebound, but it would have been easier if we said the competition was your team against the mountain, and let's put it in that analogy. All of you are searching for a way over the pass. You're getting hungry and tired and cold, and you know night's coming, and there's just no way to get over the pass. And Andre comes running back excitedly and found the way over the pass. Are you deflated, or are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
100% of you will be excited because the team's working for a unified long-term effort. That's the magic in building a major international corporation or a winning team within the smallest of leagues. Everybody buys into something being important. If you have a whole group of individuals, it will always have varying degrees of excitement and angst that go along with it. But if you overlay on top of it a description of the mountain and making it and qualifying, you know what I should do? And some of you know the answer to this. Russell probably does. Chuck and Tracy, you still there? Wolfgang's wall? Can you see a correlation here?
Not familiar with Wolfgang's wall.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm not telling you much about it. I'd like to have you all do it.
Well, what I am hearing is on our first call, what, as a team, we wanted to commit to one another was that we would all be platinum, that we were going to help each other to get to platinum. And I just think if whatever our goal is as a team and we're determined to leave no one behind, that's just pretty exciting.
So it's just taking your eyes off of the goal. And you can get everybody to wander off in every which way direction. It's kind of like our country.
What do you mean?
If you get a common goal
right.
among all the people,
right.
then everybody's automatically inspired. But if some people see one goal and other people see another goal and some other people see another goal, you will always have some who work too hard and others who feel varying degrees of disappointment or resentment or you're nuts or, you know, those kinds of things that always occur in organizations. The hardest thing to do is for everybody to agree. And I mean really agree. Can you all see that?
Yes.
The easiest way to get people to agree is when you have an obvious obstacle, an obvious foe, or an obvious goal, the greatest peacetime goal of all time that created the greatest surge in technology times 1,000 over anything in the history of the world was what?
Peacetime goal that what?
Created more technology, more growth, more national unity than anything in the history of the world. What was it?
Getting someone to the moon?
Exactly. Everybody who's old enough can remember what that felt like in that race to the moon. And everybody was in it. And when there was successes, everybody was stoked. But that's a very rare thing. But you can see how nothing else is... So what's Mr. Masuda... We'll close the call out because we always go too long, but what's Mr. Masuda's overriding vision that has ignited the dreams and passions of millions or tens of thousands of people so far?
World peace.
World peace. Well, I mean, he certainly has that as one of the things that he wants. But I don't think if you ask universally across the board, all NECAN distributors would say that first.
There's five pillars.
Home, a wellness home.
Five pillars, wellness home. See, this is something that wasn't a question in the earliest days of NECAN, but today most NECAN distributors, one of the reasons why it isn't growing as fast as it will is because there's not a consensus of what that point is, but there used to be.
Humans being more.
What's the power of that, Chuck?
Just being compassionate towards your fellow people. And there's a lot of power in that. Love.
Well, our mission is to inspire individuals to discover a whole new way of life and provide them with the opportunity to live it by changing their lives to improve health and financial well-being.
That's a new way of stating it. But what did Mr. Masuda say that ignited everybody else's, all the myriad different millionaires in NECAN, all under one roof, could grow to the huge heights that they have, but nobody's even touched it yet. And it was all based on one vision. Everybody was working toward that same end.
World health? I don't know.
It was changing the health of the world one person at a time, and we all have a piece in it.
We all have a hand in it?
Yep.
Piece of it? Hand in it?
Yep. So these visionary pieces that are going to make this next blowout are going to be simple and eloquent. They're going to be along the lines of freedom, the word freedom, love, core values, rock hard. We have people that are fighting and dying every day for a core value called freedom. Freedom from people they've never met. Does that strike you odd? So what we're about to do is we're about to step into the big time. And when we step into the big time, everything you ever thought was big or a roadblock or cumbersome or difficult will absolutely fade into almost completely flat land to travel on in comparison with the importance and power of where you're going. And then you'll know that you've just made a giant leap from being independent to being interdependent towards something that's bigger than us all. Sound interesting?
Mm. Right.
Anybody up for the challenge?
I want a piece of that.
if we're gonna spend the time, we're gonna spend the effort, and we're gonna spend the energy. Let's just not put any limitations on what God can do, and just open it up. So I challenge you this week to go ahead and read your chapter, but start thinking in terms of what if the roadblocks were removed. What if you have something so incredibly valuable that you can pass it on from generation to generation to generation, and people will gain what you are beginning to gain through this process? What are those pieces, and how are they going to be put together? What are the sequences, and how are we going to prove so that we can take that, and then once it's proved, what do you do next? How do you get it to the next level? And how big is it really going to be? That brings us all the way back around to the front of our meeting that says the only way you'll ever be able to begin to approach however big it's going to be in your own head to create the vision to bring in the thousands of people that you have to bring in is to sit down with other people who are on track to try to gain and develop with you. Mach 2 with your hair on fire. I want to appreciate all of you in public. I mean, I just think you're the best, and I thank you for the help that you give me every day in getting this done. It's a process. It's getting better every day, and you're being trained as the warriors that'll take this to the world. So I salute you.
Any guidelines, Jerry, on when we do our smaller group calls that will stronger?
Yeah, well, what I'd like to have you do on your smaller group calls is to set up a specific, and this is going to be something that Rick and Terry have tried to do for years, and I don't that once in a while, it's a rare group that really sparks with it, but that specific is to set some measurable parameter that you can all buy into and then nail it. You'll come up with the creativity, you'll come up with the systems, you'll be coming up with, and look at it as being maybe a part of the whole. If we get this done and we really own this, we can move to that. So let's see if you guys as a group can come up with one thing that's measurable as we get moving toward. In fact, is there anybody on this call that's currently qualified already for the national convention, one ticket or two?
This week. It's happening this week.
Right.
Good job.
So, would it be, if somebody qualifies, is anybody else going to feel like they can't?
I'll decline to buy into that.
There was one quote on there that was really good, that said, if someone else, or does, if, what does being small, your being, how does your being small help the world? Ooh, isn't that an interesting question?
Helps the world in a small way.
Well, the point was, if as opposed to your being all you can be, how does being small help? Well, here's the deal. It's all about producing. And you guys come up with something that you can produce that will get you all on track to getting these people in the business. And one thing that I'm looking for is when some people step across the line and you use the slingshot effect of making a team work like a team, of using your three ways, using your credibility, using the power of the growth that comes and the vision that comes from you not doing all the work yourself. Make sense?
All right.
All right, thank you guys for being on the call.
Bye.
Good night.